one pastime, which I was reading this afternoon, which is really quite nice. It's a very simple story. When we used to do puppet shows with the children at Gita Nagari, we used to do, first of all, we started by doing stories from the Bhagavatam, Jad Bharat, Bali Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj, and others. And they were always very sort of majestic. You know, there was thrones and kings and colorful dress and so many elements, embellishments to create when doing the puppet shows. And so therefore, it was quite easy with all the color and the different things to perform them, to present them. And then we started doing especially Krishna Leela. And that also was equally pleasant because there are cowherd boys and they were all different kind of colors and there are gopis and mothers and so on and so forth and colorful backgrounds and so on. And then one day my husband said, why don't we try and see if we can do some Chaitanya Leela? I thought, Chaitanya Leela? Ooh, that'll be different. And so of course not really having any vision of what it looked like exactly in Jagannath Puri, because we had only been here one time, or to speak of what it looked like at the time of Lord Chaitanya, and not having a vast understanding of the appearance and culture of the people of the time, naturally we may have had to make all of them shaven-headed. We identified them with our own patterns. And suddenly it became quite difficult because they had no hair. It was just a ball and it was completely hairless. You couldn't hide anything. You couldn't hide all the joins and the little cloth errors. And they had no ears because they were just little round balls. So to paint little ears on, so they looked a little peculiar. And then they had no colourful cloth on to kind of hide the fact that a puppet on your hand, the chest can only be this wide because you have to move your fingers like this. And so they are very skinny looking and very flat, and all these other things made them look something more than they were. But when I started making the puppets for the Chaitanya Leela, to me they all looked really quite boring, to put it quite honestly. And then we started preparing my husband would write the script and we would start doing it, and I was a little bit worried. I thought, these don't have any of the color, and there's none of the drama. And not only that, Lord Chaitanya's pastimes don't have a beginning and a middle and a crescendo and a big end. They're just like human, transcendental human life stories almost. And yet when we started to do them, very, very simple as they were, everyone immediately liked them. And we found sometimes we would do the one and sometimes we would do the other. But people often would say, could you do some of the Lord Chaitanya's pastimes? We really like those. So I came to understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, it's the mellows of relating between the individuals that make them sweet. It's not the dramatic storyline. It's not the powerful personalities who appear and trample and dominate. And there's no asuras, you know, the conflict element, the big demon and the fight to the end. There's nothing like that. It's just this very, very simple, sweet, devotee life. So in that mood I was thinking to read you one of the pastimes in the Antya Leela. This is chapter 4 of the Antya Leela. Now Krishnadas Kaviraj explains in his version, he calls the Adi Leela is all the pastimes in Mayapur. And he says, although he doesn't actually, I don't think he sticks to it, but in his first rendition he says, the Madhya Leela is the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya when he's traveling in South India. And the Antya Leela is everything else. But actually when you read the Madhya Leela, there are other pastimes along with the South Indian travels. But this was how he describes the three sections. Vrindavan Das Thakur, he speaks differently. His Shesha Leela or his Antya Leela begins when Lord Chaitanya comes to Jagannath Puri. And most of the Chaitanya Bhagavat takes place in Navadvip Mayapur. So it's very refreshing and enlivening to read the Chaitanya Bhagavat pastimes when one is in Navadvipa. So many activities. Lord Chaitanya, Nityananda, Dvaitacharya, Srivas Pandit, they come very much alive when we hear them together. So Krishnadas Kaviraj, concentrating particularly on the Puri pastimes, practically speaking, his Madhya Leela begins when Lord Chaitanya leaves Navadvipa, first goes to South India, returns to Puri, and starts to take part in activities with the devotees, especially he gives some very elaborate and beautiful descriptions of the Rath Yatra. What is actually Rath Yatra? So this we will discuss tomorrow, because we're going to go to Jagannath Balava Gardens and then also to Gundicha. So these are all Rath Yatra sites. So tonight I'd like to read you about when Sanatan Goswami came to Jagannath Puri. Sanatan Goswami was a very, very, very influential, dignified, qualified, experienced man in the world. He was so expert and so highly capable that he became basically, he was the prime minister under the Muslim government of West Bengal. And the reason that he was in such a position was not his ambition and his need for a position, a prestigious position in society. Rather the opposite. He didn't want to have anything to do with politics, what to speak of the Muslims. He was a very, very, very exalted and cultured Brahmana. But because the Muslims were in power in Bengal, if he did not cooperate, there was going to be the Nawab. He had decided he would massacre the Brahmanas and the Hindus if Sanatan Goswami didn't agree to cooperate by becoming part of his government. So Sanatan Goswami did that. But when Lord Chaitanya came to Ramakeli, then both Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami immediately desired to resign from their positions in government and leave Ramakeli and go and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. So Rupa Goswami, being the younger and in the lesser responsible position, he left immediately with his brother, Anupam. And Sanatan Goswami lingered on, but he changed his mood. And instead of going every day and attending to the responsible duties of government, he put in his sick leave and commented that he was unwell, he couldn't come and perform his normal activities. And in the meantime, he was constantly engaged, day after day, intensively and with great focus on hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So eventually, of course, the Nawab, he got to know of this and he became angry, and he insisted that Sanatan return to his post, and then Sanatan gave his unequivocal resignation. But the Nawab, being very angry with him, wouldn't accept it, and instead he said, I am on my way to Orissa, to attack Orissa and to defeat the Hindus in Orissa. And so, until I return, I'm putting you in jail. And when I come back, we will discuss further. So he threw Sanatan into prison, and Sanatan remained there for some time, calculating how he could become free of this encumbrance. Because Sanatan Goswami was fearless. He wasn't an ordinary conditioned soul who had met with some bad luck. But he was actually the Lord's eternally liberated servant. So this is his pastime. So eventually, using money that Rupa Goswami had left, considering that Sanatan may have some difficulty, he bribed the jailkeeper very expertly, and he told the jailkeeper what to tell the Nawab, that he had taken Sanatan to the bank of the Ganga to evacuate, and in his chains and everything, he had jumped into the Ganga and probably he had drowned. And so he had all of his story, he told everything to the jailkeeper, gave him his money, the jailkeeper was very happy. And Sanatan left very, very quickly, swiftly, towards Vrindavan to join the Lord. So he met Lord Chaitanya in Banaras. And there, Prayag, Banaras, is where the confluence of the Ganga, the Saraswati, and the Jamuna is. And this is a very sacred place. Banaras is the place of impersonalism. All the Mayavadis live in Banaras. But Lord Chaitanya had planted two very dear devotees of his. He had requested them to go and live there. Chandrasekhar and the other one, his name was Tapana Mishra. So when Lord Chaitanya, he told Tapana Mishra, I have some service for you to do. He came from East Bengal. He said, you go and stay in Benares. Just imagine, if you wanted to go and join Lord Chaitanya, what can I do to serve you? Go and live in the place where all the impersonalists reside, where no one even says the name of Krishna. And no one believes that Krishna, God, has a form. They all think that he is formless, without any body, without any personality. Go and stay there. You would feel like, I must be so bad. I've been given this instruction. So Tapana Mishra, he would lament being there, surrounded by the Mayavadis. Nobody was interested in Krishna. But he accepted the order of the Lord and he was very faithful. Lord Chaitanya had a plan to visit there. On his way to Vrindavan, he went. And on his way back from Vrindavan, he came again. On his way to Vrindavan, Sanatan Goswami came. And Sanatan Goswami met the Lord there. And then Lord Chaitanya instructed him for many days on the teachings of the Bhagavatam, and he gave him instructions what he wanted to do as his life's work on behalf of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Vrindavan. Then Sanatan Goswami wished to meet with Rupa Goswami. So he was in this way traveling. Lord Chaitanya came to Vrindavan and returned. And on his return, he preached to the Mayavadis. When he first arrived, everybody told him, this place, no one can even say the word Krishna. They can say Chaitanya, because Chaitanya means the living force. It doesn't mean any, it's not a name for God. But they cannot say Krishna. They cannot say Ram. They cannot say any of the Lord's names. So lamenting when he arrived the first time, when he returned, he desired to actually liberate these impersonalists from their misconceptions, and he did so. Sanatana Goswami arrived in Vrindavan, spent some time in Vrindavan, and then he desired to see the Lord again. So he traveled from Vrindavan by himself. He traveled through many forests and jungles, especially the Jarikanda forest in which Lord Chaitanya had traveled himself, on his way to Jagannath Puri, eager as anything to see the Lord again. So this is his pastime. When Sanatana Goswami returned from Vrindavan, Lord Chaitanya affectionately saved him from his determination to commit suicide. This is a synopsis of this pastime. Then after testing him, Lord Chaitanya purified his body. All glories to Lord Chaitanya, all glories to Nityananda, all glories to Advaitacharya, and all glories to all the devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Srila Rupa Goswami returned from Jagannath Puri to Bengal, Sanatana Goswami went from Mathura to Jagannath Puri to see Lord Chaitanya. So Rupa Goswami came and then Sanatana Goswami went to Jagannath Puri. Sanatana Goswami walked alone on the path through the Jarikanda forest in central India. Sometimes he fasted and sometimes he would eat. But because of the impure water in the Jarikanda forest and because of fasting, Sanatana Goswami contracted a disease that made his body itch. Thus he was afflicted with itching sores from which all kind of fluids oozed. So here he was, we can think, I was thinking last night, some of the girls, the devotees, playfully were wearing bare feet. And we were down in around the Jagannath Mandir, so I was saying to Palika, you should wear shoes. So somebody can argue if they have faith, but this is the Dham, why shouldn't I just wear bare feet? And then you can say to somebody, because sometimes this happens in Vrindavan, Navadvipa also, you can say, you can wear bare feet if you want, but you have to have the required faith to accept whatever consequences may occur. So because it's all based on faith, so we may be thinking, oh, I have faith, I don't mind, it's the holy Dham, but we may have some sentimental faith, but it may not be deep enough for us to take shelter of if For example, we get deadly ill, we get dire dysentery, and this happens, and so on and so forth. Then we may say, oh, what is this? And then we may complain, oh, I'm so sick. Oh, I don't like Jagannath Puri. I've had a very difficult visit because I'm sick all the time. Why me? And so many thoughts can appear in our minds quite naturally that weren't there the moment that we were ready to very simply and faithfully act in a devotional manner. And we see this also with devotees when they get later in their lives and they say, I gave all my life to ISKCON and what did I get back? I gave the best years of my life and now look at the temple, it's not providing anything for me, there's no shelter here, I don't have any friends here, you know, I don't have any money, any economic support to my life, look at me. And indirectly, we may find ourselves blaming the source of what everything we gave, we're now saying, where's mine? What's for me? I gave you this, 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 and this. Where's mine? So this is called Karmakandya. And Jagannath Puri is actually an expert place for Karmakandya. If one wants to perform Karmakandya activities, you just get one panda. He'll go into the Jagannath Mandir. He'll offer so much puja on your behalf. First he'll say, what do you want? You want a nice wife? Okay, yes, wife. All right. Anything else? You want your children exams, university? Yes, okay, I can get that for you. And you give him your list of what you want from Lord Jagannath. And he'll go in and he'll do all kinds of rituals. And then he'll pray to, oh, Jagannath Dev, she is my client. She's very important to me. Oh, he is very important to me. You please give all these things. And sometimes Lord Jagannath will give and sometimes Lord Jagannath won't give. And Lord Jagannath, or Krishna, he says, sometimes I see my devotees and they come to me, but they have some material desires in their heart as well. And so sometimes I fulfill their desires, but I fulfill their desires in such a way that they won't want that again. So that doesn't mean necessarily that a hammer, a sledgehammer, is going to come down on your head and he's going to smash you. It doesn't necessarily mean that. But what it means is that he will, alongside filling your desire, material desire, he will act in such a way so that you can't help but remember that actually the taste of bhakti is better than this. Actually, when I was I was actually much happier. Now I have this and I have that and I got this and I wanted that, but I remember when I used to go, and these remembrances will come, and this is his mercy. But here Sanatana Goswami, he's on such a high platform, way above us, that he's, as we're saying, he's an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. So he doesn't have any trace of anything like that, not even the slightest hint of a desire, what where's mine? He's not thinking of himself, he's only thinking how to serve Lord Chaitanya. So he can go through the Jharikhanda forest, barefooted no doubt, drinking the water from anywhere, eating anything or nothing or whatever, and he can come out with boils and sores all over his body, with pus and blood oozing from them and itching all the time, and he won't think, ah, what has happened. But interesting, you'll hear that he does lament, and he laments so much that he decides that he's got a plan. Now that he has these pussy sores all over his body, he's going to commit suicide. So let's hear why. So he says, in disappointment, Sanatana Goswami considered, looking at his body, he said, I am of a low caste and my body is useless now for devotional service. When I go to Jagannath Puri, I will not be able to see Lord Jagannath, nor will I be always able to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he has these sores and they're oozing, and he may touch someone and they would be afflicted by the pus or the itching, the things. He may be infected even. So he's thinking, now I'll have to stay away from everyone. I have heard that the residential quarters of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are near the temple of Lord Jagannath, but I shall not have the power to go near the temple. Why? Because the servants of Lord Jagannath generally move about tending to their duties. But if they touch me, then I will be a great offender. Therefore, if I sacrifice this useless body in a very good place, my unhappiness will be mitigated and I shall attain an exalted destination. So during the Rath Yatra festival, when Lord Jagannath comes out of the temple and he's riding on the cart, I shall give up this body under the wheels of the cart. After seeing Lord Jagannath, I will give up my body under the wheels of the cart in the presence of Lord Chaitanya, and this will be the highest benediction of my life. So he was thinking of this in a very humble way, not in a lamenting, morose way, but he was thinking, now my life is useless, so I will give it up. Having made this resolution in his mind, Sanatana Goswami went to Nilachal and asked directions from the people and approached the residence of Haridas Thakur. He offered his respects to Haridas, who knew him well, and embraced him. Sanatana was very eager to see the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. Therefore Haridas said, "The Lord will be coming here very soon." At that very moment, after visiting the temple of Lord Jagannath to see the offerings of the Upal Bhog in the morning, Lord Chaitanya and all the devotees arrived to see Haridas Thakur. So right there, immediately, was Lord Chaitanya. Seeing Lord Chaitanya, both Haridas and Sanatana immediately bowed down and paid their dandavat obeisances. And the Lord lifted up Haridas from the ground and embraced him heartily. Haridas said, "My Lord, here is Sanatana Goswami offering his obeisances." Sanatana was still on the ground. Seeing Sanatana Goswami, the Lord was greatly surprised. Then Mahaprabhu came forward with his arms wide open to embrace Sanatana Goswami, who's covered in all these oozy, pussy. Just imagine if we go down to the Jagannath temple and there's lepers come and their fingers are falling off and there's all this oozy stuff coming out, and they come up to you like this and say, one rupee, ah! You know, you go as far away as possible, you use your one rupee, go away. You know? So here's Lord Chaitanya, and he's got pussy, oozy sores all over his body. And Lord Chaitanya doesn't even see them, and he just comes close to embrace him. And Sanatana Goswami, back, no, my Lord. He didn't want to be embraced by him. He said, "Please do not touch me. I fall at your lotus feet. I am the lowest of men, being born in a very low caste. And besides that, I have these infections all over my body." Lord Chaitanya didn't listen to him. He embraced him by force, and he held him very, very close to him. And all the moisture oozing from the itching sores came all over the transcendental body of Lord Chaitanya. Then the Lord introduced the devotees to Sanatana Goswami, who was offering his respects to every one of the devotees. And then the Lord sat on a raised platform up high, and Sanatana Goswami, Haridas sat down below. And Sanatana Goswami was asked by Lord Chaitanya for news. And Lord Sanatana Goswami said, "Everything is auspicious because I have now seen you." And then they spoke, and Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana about Rupa. He said, "I have seen your brother. He left for Bengal 10 days ago. Your other brother, Anupam, he is now dead." Then he spoke about him. Sanatana Goswami heard, while Lord Chaitanya described how Anupam, his younger brother, was always immersed in the pastimes of Lord Ram. And Sanatana answers and explains, "Yes, we used to tell him when we were young, Rupa and I, we were always thinking of Krishna. So we told Anupam, you should also give up your worship of Lord Ram and you should worship Krishna. But Anupam could never do it. He said, my worshipful deity is Lord Ram." So then they would say, "Engage yourself in devotional service to Krishna. With the two of us, we three brothers shall stay together and enjoy discussing the pastimes of Krishna." But he could not give up the worship of Lord Ram. So then Lord Chaitanya, he returned the exchange, and he said, "Yes, this is like Murari Gupta. He was similar. I went to him, Murari, and I said, 'Murari, you have to stop worshipping Lord Ram and start worshipping Lord Krishna.' And Murari, he stayed up all night and fasted and cried and fasted and thought, there's no way that I can stop worshipping Lord Ram. And then he said afterwards, he said that when I examined him in this way, I saw that his determination was very similar. So then Lord Chaitanya said, glorious is that devotee who does not give up the shelter of his Lord, and glorious is that Lord who does not abandon his servant. If by chance a servant falls down and goes somewhere else, glorious is that master who captures him and brings him back by the hair. This was Lord Chaitanya's mood. He said, it is very good that you have arrived here. Now stay in this room with Haridas Thakur. Both of you understand the mellows of Krishna's pastimes. Therefore, you should both continue relishing the taste of such activities whilst chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Then Lord Chaitanya got up and he left. He gave prasadam for them both and he went. So Sanatan Goswami stayed there under the care of Haridas Thakur, and he would look every day at the chakra on top of the Jagannath temple, and he was very peaceful. And every day Lord Chaitanya would go to visit these two stalwart devotees and discuss the topics of Krishna with them for some time. Lord Chaitanya would bring their prasadam to them and give it to them because they were so advanced and so exalted. Then one day when Lord Chaitanya came, Sanatana Goswami was sitting there, and just in passing Lord Chaitanya said, he said, my dear Sanatan, he asked him a question, he said. No, he didn't ask him a question, he made a statement. He said, my dear Sanatan, he said, if I could attain Krishna by committing suicide, I would certainly give up millions of bodies without a moment's hesitation. But you should know that one cannot attain Krishna simply by giving up the body. Krishna is attainable by devotional service. There is no other way to attain him. Acts such as suicide, Lord Chaitanya is speaking, unsolicited by Sanatana Goswami, he says, acts such as suicide are influenced by the mode of ignorance, and in ignorance and passion, one cannot understand who Krishna is. Unless one discharges devotional service, one cannot awaken his dormant love for Krishna, and there is no means of attaining him other than awakening your dormant love for him. So then he quoted some verses, and he said also, he quoted a verse, he said that one who is deeply in love with Krishna cannot tolerate the separation of Krishna, and therefore such a devotee always desires to take his own life. So he was speaking, he was giving him a context, but he was also telling him, it's very sinful trying to attain Krishna by committing suicide. You will not attain him like that. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke directly to Sanatan and he said, give up your nonsensical ideas, for they are unfavorable for getting the shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna. Engage yourself in chanting and hearing, and then you will soon achieve the shelter of Krishna without a doubt. A person born in a low family is not fit to discharge devotional service, but nor is one fit for devotional service simply because he is born in an aristocratic family of brahmanas. So he spoke in this way, explaining that the only qualification was actually development of love of God. And then he went on to speak further to Sanatana Goswami, who was actually very astonished, because he hadn't spoken about this plan of his to anyone. And so Sanatana Goswami was very astonished and he thought, my decision to commit suicide has not been greatly appreciated by Lord Chaitanya. He thought, Lord Chaitanya knows everything, past, present and future, and he has actually forbidden me to commit suicide. So he then fell down at the lotus feet of the Lord and he spoke as follows. He said, you are the omniscient, merciful, independent Lord, and exactly like an instrument of wood, I dance as you make me do so. I am condemned, for I have all the qualities of a sinful man. But if you keep me alive, so if you keep me alive, what will be your profit? And Lord Chaitanya answered him very lovingly, because Sanatana Goswami was feeling so fallen. He was thinking, I'm so fallen. What is the use of this body? What is the use of me? And Lord Chaitanya said, your body is my property. Now this is what we have to come to understand. That when we take up the process of Krishna consciousness and gradually become serious, we come to understand that our body and our mind are the property of our spiritual master, of Srila Prabhupada, particularly of Srila Prabhupada, and essentially of Krishna himself. This is reality. This is not some sentiment that we develop, but rather the ignorance and passion that is covering our purity now, they subside, they diminish, they dissolve. And as they disappear, then we come to this understanding that my body and my mind are instruments only for the service of Krishna. They belong to him. So Lord Chaitanya says, you have already surrendered to me. So therefore you no longer have any claim over your body. Now why do you want to destroy another person's property? Can you not understand what is right and what is wrong? Your body, now he will tell Sanatana Goswami, as he has told him earlier, he says, your body is my principal instrument for executing many necessary things. By your body I will carry out many tasks. So we should understand here also that it is so essential that we become advanced in Krishna consciousness. Because each one of us has a particular function to perform on behalf of Krishna. And we can say, oh well, what's the use if I do it or someone else can do it? And in one sense, that's true. None of us are indispensable. We all have to recognize that. But each one of us has something that Lord Chaitanya would like us to do. And when we relinquish the opportunity, it's our greatest misfortune that we're not doing that. Because by doing that, we become completely satisfied. And that sense of what is it for me, what is there for me, I need, I want, I don't have, that all it dissolves in the heart when we understand that actually I'm an instrument and I have so many things that I have to do and I have to make myself more and more pure, more and more transparent so that I can actually do them. So he said, you shall have to ascertain the basic principles of a devotee, devotional service, love of God, Vaishnava duties and Vaishnava characteristics. These are the duties Sanatana Goswami was to perform. You will also have to explain Krishna's devotional service, establish centers for cultivating love of Krishna, excavate lost places of pilgrimage, and teach people how to adopt the renounced order. Mathura Vrindavan is my very, very dearest abode. I want to do many things there to preach Krishna consciousness. But by the order of my mother, I am sitting here in Jagannath Puri. Therefore, I cannot go to Mathura Vrindavan to teach people how to live there according to religious principles. I will have to do all this work through your body. But you want to give it up. How can I tolerate this? At that time, Sanatana Goswami said to Mahaprabhu, I offer my respectful obeisances to you. No one can understand the deep ideas that you plan within your heart. A wooden doll or a puppet dances according to the directions of the puppeteer, who does not know how he is dancing and how he is singing. My Lord, as you cause one to dance, he dances accordingly. But how he dances and who is causing him to dance, he does not know. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, my dear Haridas, he's going to rub it in. He says, Haridas, what do you think about this person? He wants to destroy another person's property. He's going to make it very clear to Sanatan. One who is entrusted with another person's property does not distribute it or use it for his own purposes. Therefore, tell him not to do this unlawful thing. Haridas replied, because Haridas was always in this very humble state of mind. He replied and he said, very wisely, he said, "We are falsely proud of our capabilities, but actually none of us can understand your deep intentions. Unless you inform us, we cannot understand what your purpose is or what you want to do through whom. My dear sir, since you, a great personality, have accepted Sanatan Goswami, he is very fortunate. No one can be as fortunate as he." And Lord Chaitanya was satisfied, and he left to take his noon bath and perform his duties. And then Haridas Thakur said to Sanatan Goswami, "You're so fortunate. You can do so many things. This is the mood, the sweet mood between Vaishnavas." He said, "You can do so many things for Lord Chaitanya. He's got so many plans for you. No one is as fortunate as you. He wants to do so many things through you. But me, I'm so unfortunate. I could not be used in the service of Lord Chaitanya." And this is a Namacharya speaking. And then Sanatan Goswami, he replies in the same mood of humility, and he says, "Oh Haridas, who is equal to you? You are one of Lord Chaitanya's personal associates. Therefore you are most fortunate." So in this way, they glorify each other's good qualities. And a very famous verse is here. Sanatan Goswami glorifying Haridas Thakur, he says, "Some people behave very well, but they do not preach the cult of Krishna consciousness. Whereas other people preach, but they do not behave properly. But you simultaneously perform both duties in relationship to the holy name by your personal behavior and by your preaching. Therefore, you are the spiritual master of the entire world, for you are the most advanced devotee in the world." So in this way, they would spend their time discussing Krishna Katha together. They never went to any other subject, only constantly talking about Krishna. So during the time of the Rath Yatra, all the devotees came from Bengal as usual to see the Rath Yatra. And as usual, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu danced before the cart of Lord Jagannath, and when Sanatan Goswami saw this, he was astonished. Then the Lord's devotees stayed in Jagannath Puri for the 4 months of the rainy season, and then Lord Chaitanya introduced Sanatan Goswami to all of them. The Lord asked Sanatan to offer his obeisances to every one of these devotees in a way that was befitting. Sanatan was dear to all of them, and suitably therefore they bestowed their mercy and friendship and honor upon him. Then all the devotees returned to Bengal, and Sanatan stayed under the care of the lotus feet of the Lord. Sanatan observed the festival of the Dol Yatra ceremony with Lord Chaitanya, and in this way his pleasure increased in the company of the Lord. Now, I read this morning for the first time carefully for some reason. I was looking for something else and I came to this. And I read, many times I've read this pastime before, and I was thinking that he comes in the early part of the year, he stays till the Rath Yatra, that's May, June, July. Then he stays till Dol Yatra, which is around about Gopunim, that's the next year. And all this time he's itching and oozing, and I was thinking, how horrible, what a horrible test. But for the first time today, when I read this very carefully, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed to me something very simple that's written straight here that I had overlooked, which changed my understanding of this particular pastime. And that is that Kaviraj Goswami, sometimes he writes things out of context. So there he is giving you an overview of what Sanatan Goswami did. He came, he stayed for the Rath Yatra, and then he stayed right through the whole, past the rainy season, right through until the following year. And then he says, Sanatan Goswami had come to see Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri during the month of April, May. And during the month of May, June, Lord Chaitanya tested him. So the month of June is Jyestha, and the month of April, May is Vaishak. So he came in the month of Vaishak, and in the month of Jyestha, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tested him. So here is his test. In that month of May and June, anyone who has lived in India knows May and June is boiling hot. Now you think the sand can be quite hot, but in May and June you can't even walk on the sand. If you walk out there on the sand, you just walk from here to the beach, you won't. You won't make it. The skin on the underneath of your feet will be blistered. It's like you put them onto a hot plate or something. It's so hot. So in the month of May, June, Lord Chaitanya came to the garden of Yameshwar and accepted prasadam there at the request of the devotees. So this is describing that Lord Chaitanya one day came to the Tota Gopinath temple, which is in the garden of Yameshwar, Yameshwar Tota. Tota means garden. So Tota Gopinath is a deity that we will see day after the day after tomorrow. And some of us may already have had the good fortune to visit and take his darshan. But Tota Gopinath is a deity that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave personally to Gadadhar Pandit. And Gadadhar Pandit stayed in this place and worshipped this deity, having accepted the vow of Chetra Sannyas. He was not a sannyasi. He just accepted the vow, I will never leave Jagannath Puri. I will always worship Gopinath. So Gadadhar Pandit never went to Vrindavan. He was always in Jagannath Puri, worshipping the deity that Lord Chaitanya gave him before he went to South India. So one day, Lord Chaitanya came there to accept prasadam at the request of the devotees. And at noon it was time for lunch, and the Lord called Sanatan Goswami, who had these blisters and pussy sores all over his body, and he called him and invited him also to come for lunch. At noon, the sand on the beach was as hot as a blazing fire. But Sanatan Goswami came by that path. Now, we saw where the Siddhabakul was. We went down here like this, and we came to Siddhabakul. And then from there, we went on to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. We went further towards the Jagannath temple. And to get a rickshaw, we went right up to the Jagannath temple. Now, if you want to come from Siddhabakul back, you can come around this way, past the sea beach to Tota Gopinath. Or you can go the other way, past the Jagannath temple, through the township, and around past this Yameshwar Tota temple, and you arrive at Siddhabakul, Tota Gopinath. And both ways are more or less the same. This one's perhaps a little shorter. So here, Sanatana Goswami is being called, and he could go that way, just through the streets, and it's a little less hot, because you see the houses and so forth, they create some shade and so forth. So it's an easier, quicker way and cooler. But Sanatana Goswami, with all his blisters and sores and everything else, he's thinking in this deep and fixed humility, if I go that way, somebody or other might touch me and it will be the most terrible thing. So I will take the way around by the sand to get to the same place. So overwhelmed by the joy of being called by the Lord, Sanatana Goswami did not feel that his feet were burning in the hot sand. Although the soles of his feet were covered with blisters because of the heat, he nevertheless went in that way to see Lord Chaitanya. When he found Lord Chaitanya, he had already taken his lunch and he was resting. So Govinda, his servant, gave Sanatana Goswami a plate of food, the remnants of Lord Chaitanya, and Sanatana Goswami took that prasadam. And then he came to see Lord Chaitanya, who was resting. And when the Lord saw him, he said to him, which way have you come? Sanatana Goswami said, I came the path by the beach. Lord Chaitanya said, how could you have come by the path by the beach? The sand is so hot. Why didn't you come the path in front of the Singhadwara, past the Jagannath temple? That way it is very cool. The sand must have blistered your feet. Now you cannot walk. How can you tolerate this? Sanatan replied, I did not feel any pain, nor did I know that there were any blisters on my feet because of the heat. But I have no right to pass by the Singhajara gate, for the servants of Lord Jagannath come and go there. The servants are always coming and going without interval, and if I touch them, I will be ruined. Hearing this, Lord Chaitanya was so pleased with Sanatana Goswami. So this was Lord Chaitanya's test. And when he tested him like this, so this is only, he came in April, May, and this is in May, June. So maybe some weeks he had been there with his sores all over his body. And then Lord Chaitanya glorified him and he said, "You are such a great saint because you are protecting Vaishnava etiquette." This was what Sanatana Goswami was most appreciated for. He was so cultured in Vaishnava behavior. Lord Chaitanya said, "Maintenance of Vaishnava etiquette is the ornament of a devotee. If one transgresses the laws of etiquette, people make fun of him, and thus he is vanquished in both this world and the next." So here we are, and we have just the minutest smattering of an understanding of what is Vaishnava etiquette again. We don't know anything. So therefore, we should learn from Sanatana Goswami. If we know nothing, we should become extremely humble. And this becoming humble, it feels very, as I've repeated, it feels not pleasant. It's because our ego is so inflated and we think that is us. And the thought of having our ego deflated feels like it would be like death for us. That's how it feels. I will be dying. It's like somebody will be stabbing me. But I was just thinking before when I was preparing this how it was when we were having the kirtan, when we were coming in kirtan earlier, I was thinking how from Siddha Bakul we were coming, how we're so buoyant, at least I can speak for myself, my ego is so buoyant that I can't go deeply into the subject matter. I just can't. I just don't. And I was thinking, what's it like? I was trying to find a picture in my mind of how I feel, and I felt like I'm like a big ball, you know, like you get a big beach ball and you take it out into the ocean and you can jump on it and squish it down, but it goes nowhere. It just bounces on the top. And I feel like I just bounce on the surface, boing, 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 and I can't go deeply into any of the subject matter. And this humility is like going deep into the subject and tasting it. And here I am just going boing, boing, boing. And then I was thinking, what would you do if you had something and it was full of air and you wanted it to go submerge it? You would have to cut it. You would have to make some sort of a slash. Even just a little hole would be enough. And the air has to come out. And I was thinking how we talk about people being puffed up. And we think of the example of the japati becomes puffed up. And Prabhupada would use this term a lot. You are puffed up. So it is full of hot air. And we feel ourselves self-important as a result of our size. But our size is all made of hot air. And so then we think, if I wasn't this big and I wasn't so self-important, what would happen to me? And what would actually happen is if by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya just a little gash was made in the size of this, in the side of this buoyant, bouncy false ego, then the air could come out. And as the air comes out, then you could submerge that entity into the ocean. But with all the air inside, boing, 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 it won't go under the water. So Sanatana Goswami, these personalities, they have no false pride. So they go deeply into this mood of humility. And when we hear of their mood of humility, sometimes in certain moods I think, oh, that sounds awful. But in other moods I understand, no, this is actually very wonderful. It would be so wonderful to have these characteristics. But how in the world could somebody like myself have such characteristics? Because I'm full of buoyant as anything. Anyone can say something to me, I'll get very offended. They hurt my feelings. But immediately after that, I'm up again. And I'm going again with the same type of egoistic pride. So here when we hear about Sanatana Goswami, it is meant to make that pierce, that little hole, not to stab us in the heart, but just to pierce a little hole in our exterior, egoistic pride, and allow some of that air to come out so that we can experience the sweetness of this transcendental humility. So there, Sanatana Goswami, Lord Chaitanya is saying, "You have satisfied my mind by being such an example." So when we think, I cannot do that, then we should feel actually the humility that allows us to actually penetrate deeper into the subject. So then Mahaprabhu, after that, being pleased with Sanatana Goswami, of course we know what he did. He embraced Sanatana Goswami with both arms, as he was doing regularly, and he embraced him, and all the oozing moisture came all over, smeared all over the body of the Lord. And although Sanatana Goswami repeatedly forbade the Lord, please don't do this, he would continually do it. And thus his body, his transcendental beautiful body, was smeared with the moisture from Sanatana's body, and Sanatana became deeply distressed. So here is part of Sanatana's test. So then, the next day, the very next day, Jagadananda Pandit, who knew Sanatana Goswami, he came to see him. And he revealed his mind to him. And he said, I feel so unhappy here. First, I can't do anything. I cannot go and see Lord Jagannath. I am so impure. And not only that, Mahaprabhu, he keeps embracing me in this way. So I do not feel happy here in Jagannath Puri. Actually, I feel very, very unhappy. When I forbid him to embrace my body, he does so nevertheless. I wanted to commit suicide, but he has said, no, I cannot do that. Now, what can I do? Jagadananda Pandit said to him, you know, you came here to see Lord Jagannath at the Rath Yatra, so you should stay here till Rath Yatra. This is May, June, and Rath Yatra is the next month. You stay till Rath Yatra and go back to Vrindavan. What is the difficulty? He said, Vrindavan is the place that the Lord has ordered you to stay, so just you can return. So he says, your purpose has been fulfilled, so then you return. So Sanatana Goswami says, you have given me very good advice, thank you. I will certainly do that, because that is where the Lord wants me to stay. So the next day, Lord Chaitanya comes in the same way to see Haridas and Sanatana. And Haridas offers his obeisances to the Lord. And Sanatana Goswami goes at a distant place, and Lord Chaitanya comes, and again he heartily embraces him. And again, Sanatana Goswami feels very, very unhappy. And then they sit down together, and Lord Sanatana Goswami begins to speak. And he tells Lord Chaitanya what he's planned. He said, I came here for my benefit, but I am getting the opposite. I am completely unfit to do any service. And so, because I am feeling that my body is so impure and the moisture is touching your body every day, so I have decided, I have spoken to Jagadananda Pandit, and I've got his opinion, and I have decided on his advice that I will return to Vrindavan right after the Rath Yatra. And Lord Chaitanya became very angry. And Lord Chaitanya, he said, in a very angry mood, he said, this Jagga, he calls him Jagga, like you call, you know, like we call, I call my daughter, her name is Lalita Manjari, and I call her Lali, in a very intimate way. This Lali, she's stupid. So he says, this Jagga, he's just a boy, and he's become so proud that he's thinking that he can advise someone like you. This is very bad. In affairs of spiritual advancement, and even in ordinary dealings, you are on the level of his spiritual master. And not knowing your value and not knowing his value, he dares to advise you. My dear Sanatana, you are on the position of my advisor. You are so great. It's glorifying Sanatana Goswami very, very fully. And this naughty boy, he has dared to speak to you like this. When Sanatana Goswami heard this, he became very, very sorry. He didn't think, yes, actually, that's correct. Everyone understands. I am actually quite an advanced person. He had none of that. So what he felt instead, he fell at the feet of the Lord and he said, now I understand Jagadananda's position. He said, you, and I also understand my misfortune. I understand his position and my misfortune. Because no one in the world is more fortunate than Jagadananda. So his seeing is always different than our own. He says, you make Jagadananda drink the nectar of affectionate, loving relationship, whereas you offer me honorable prayers, and therefore you make me drink the bitter juice of neem. It is my misfortune that you do not accept me intimately as your intimate relation, but you are completely independent, so you can do as you want. Now hearing this, Lord Chaitanya became actually embarrassed, because Sanatana Goswami is saying, you just treat me as in some great, venerable, distant person, but you treat him so dear to your heart. Then Lord Chaitanya, just to satisfy Sanatana Goswami, he said, all right, you should not think that Jagadananda is actually dearer to me than you, but I cannot tolerate the transgression of standard etiquettes. You are an experienced authority. He is a young boy. He has no right to instruct you in this way. So he goes on like this, presenting again somewhat of a formal explanation to Sanatana Goswami, who's listening very carefully. And Lord Chaitanya is saying, yes, it is true. You are very dear to me. He's very dear to me. But I cannot tolerate him disrespecting you. So it is not because you're an outsider that I praise you, but it is actually because you have those qualities that I'm praising you. You think that your body in this oozy position is very awful, and therefore I should not touch it. But to me, your body is just like nectar. Your body is never material, it is transcendental. And you are thinking of it in terms of a material conception. So then he spoke so many verses to pacify Sanatana Goswami. And he said, therefore I am a sannyasi, I have to be equal. So he explains also different reasons. So I am equipoised, so even if your body is covered in sores, I have to remain equal. It is a test for me. So he's speaking in this way, I must be equally opposed to sandalwood pulp or dirty mud. So then Haridasa Thakur, he speaks and he said, my Lord, everything that you have just said about Sanatana Goswami, it's all external. So he is there to speak on behalf of Sanatana Goswami. So again, they embarrassed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. First he's saying this is improper, you're so great. And then Sanatana Goswami is not happy. So then now he's saying, actually it is etiquette, he should not disobey. And also I'm a sannyasi, it is etiquette that I should embrace your body. This is not difficult for me. Now, Haridas says, we are very fallen. We do not accept what you're saying. It is external. We are very fallen, but you have accepted us due to your attribute of being very, very merciful to the fallen. This is well known all over the world. Now, Haridas is going to bring the intimate understanding to the foreground. Then Lord Chaitanya smiled and he said, all right. He said, listen, Haridas and Sanatan, now I will speak the truth about how much my mind is attached to you. He said, I think of you both, Haridas and Sanatan were both elderly. He said, I think of you both as like my little boys, just to be maintained by me, and anything you do, any fault, I do not take it seriously. I always think of myself as deserving no respect, but because of affection, I consider you both like little children. When a child passes stool or urine on the mother never hates the child. On the contrary, she takes pleasure in cleaning the child. So then Lord Chaitanya Haridas says, you are so merciful towards us, because now he's actually expressed his love towards both of them. He says, nobody can understand what is within your deeply affectionate heart. So without the mercy of the devotees, we cannot understand the deeply affectionate heart of Lord Chaitanya. We will only see the externals. This is like this, and that's like that, and that should be like this, and this is improper, this is right, this is good. And he's saying that all Vaishnava etiquette, it should all be followed. But now Haridas is revealing what is actually the heart of Lord Chaitanya, how dear his devotees are to him. Then he glorified him. When you were in South India, you embraced a leper whose body was covered in worms, and you embraced him to your chest, and you made his body, by embracing him, you made his body as beautiful as the body of Cupid. So we cannot understand the waves of your mercy. Then Lord Chaitanya replied by saying that the body of a devotee is never considered material. It is full of spiritual bliss. Then he speaks on about the glories of the body of a devotee after taking initiation. His body is considered spiritual. And then he says that Krishna somehow has placed these itching sores on Sanatana Goswami to test me, to see if I had acted properly. If I had hated him for these sores, then Krishna would have certainly chastised me. Then, after saying this, he said to Sanatana, please do not feel any grief, because I get great pleasure from actually embracing your body. And please, stay with me. Do not leave after the Rath Yatra, but stay with me for one whole year. And after that, I will send you back to Vrindavan. After saying this, and this is taking place within 3 days, this test. First, asking him to come to Tota Gopinath and him burning the soles of his feet and not noticing at all. Then speaking to Jagannanda saying, after Rath Yatra, go back. Then there'll be no more problem. Then Lord Chaitanya the next day, following day, speaking to Sanatana Goswami, discussing this plan. He told him, no, I don't want you to go back after the Rath Yatra. I want you to stay here for a year. Then you can go back. And then Lord Chaitanya, finally, he embraced Sanatana Goswami in the same way as he had embraced him in the following weeks and days. And immediately Sanatana Goswami's sores disappeared and his whole body became like molten gold. Seeing this change, Haridas Thakur was greatly astonished and he said, my Lord, he said, this is your pastime. Then he understood. He said, you made Sanatana Goswami drink that water. You generated the itching sores on his body. And after causing the itching sores, you examined Sanatana Goswami. No one can understand your pastimes. And here again is such an important lesson for us. Because we think, why is this happening to me? I've done this and this and this and I've tried to be a devotee and now this is happening. It must be because of this. It must be this external reason or that reason or that reason. But in actuality, even on our level, Lord Chaitanya is reciprocating in the same way. So he generates the tests that we face. And he's there also to give us the faith to go through these tests. And when our faith in Lord Chaitanya becomes fixed like that, then we start to see that we make very steady progress in devotional service. And this is so essential. For us to read this and not just think, oh, that's a nice story, or sometimes our mind wanders and we think that's a story, but to actually take it to the point that this also applies in a minute degree to us. If we were totally pure, it would 100% apply to us. But still this principle is active in our lives because we have decided that we want to take up devotional service, the process of purification. So in the same way, Lord Chaitanya is arranging for us. Then when Haridas Thakur recognized this, you made him drink that water, you made these sores come, you arranged for him for the last 2-3 weeks to have this terrible oozing sores everywhere. You arranged everything as a test. And then you examined him to see his transcendental qualities. So Lord Chaitanya wants to see how we can behave in the different difficulties that arise. So we must take shelter of him and not move away from that shelter. In the same way that a shooting star flies off out into the sky. We shouldn't be like that. We should go towards him always and take shelter at every situation and not think, oh, I'm so fallen, I can't do that. That's not humility. That's another facet of this big inflated ball-like false ego, that buoyant false ego bouncing on the top of the ocean. Because these devotees who feel themselves most fallen, they immediately go and take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. So if we really feel ourselves to be fallen, we will go there. And if we don't go there, we should know it is the action of this inflated ego. And we should wish and wish and wish and beg and beg and beg that somehow or another you can make some arrangement, not too violent, of course, not too painful, of course, but some arrangement to deflate this egoistic pride so that my real nature can be seen and revealed. So then, Lord Chaitanya, he had Sanatana Goswami stay there. He stayed with Haridas Thakur. He stayed for the Rath Yatra. He stayed for the Dol Yatra, which is Gopanim time, January, February. So he say February. He came in March, April. So he stayed actually a whole year. And after the Dol Yatra, Gopanim time, then Lord Chaitanya instructed him and told him that he should now return to Vrindavan. And Krishna Das Kaviraj tells us the scene of separation that took place when Sanatan Goswami and Lord Chaitanya took leave of each other is so piteous that it cannot be described herein. Because actually when I was reading this, I was thinking that would be the last time he would see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because now he's returning to Jagannath Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu soon thereafter would leave his earthly pastimes. So how deep and how dear was the relationship between them. But Sanatana Goswami, because he was going back that way, he got instructions from Balava Bhattacharya, who travelled with Lord Chaitanya to Vrindavan, and he followed back the exact course, going through the exact villages that Lord Chaitanya followed, all the way back to Vrindavan. And each place that he visited, he was immediately struck by ecstatic love for Lord Chaitanya as he was walking back to Vrindavan. And then later on, Rupa Goswami, he himself came to meet the Lord. So Rupa Sanatan and Jiva Goswami, they lived together in Jagannath Puri. In Vrindavan. These three, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami and Jiva Goswami, says Krishna Das Kaviraj, are my spiritual masters, and so also is Raghunath Das Goswami. I therefore offer prayers at their lotus feet, for I am their servant. Thus I have described how the Lord again met with Sanatan Goswami. By hearing this, I can understand the Lord's desire. So these pastimes are actually so subtle and deep. We may in one hearing not hear them very deeply and subtly, but when we hear them again and again, they become very, very deep, very sweet. These characteristics of Lord Chaitanya are like sugar cane that one can chew to relish the transcendental juice. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Raghunath, always desiring their company, I, Krishna Das, narrate the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, following in their footsteps. So what we can gain from these pastimes by hearing them in the association of devotees, I find, is even more than if we hear them or read them alone. When I came in and the devotees were coming in, I was teasing Hari Kirtan Mataji because she was saying to me, should I make a recording of what you're going, are you going to speak or are you going to read? I said, oh, I'm going to read. She said, oh, then I won't tape. She was not thinking fully, clearly. So I said, you won't tape the Chaitanya Chaitamrita? She said, if you put something in the middle, some talk, I can relate better to that. Because thinking, and often our mind actually tricks us like that, and we think, actually, Chaitanya Chaitamrita. And quite honestly, I find for myself that many times I look at the Chaitanya Chaitamrita and I think, not today, I'm not quite in the mood, I think I'll read that another day. It's a little deep or it's a little intense. I'll read that some other time. So then I was teasing her and saying, oh, so you think that the Chaitanya Chaitamrita is inadequate? If you put a little something in, then it makes the Chaitanya Chaitamrita bearable? So we were teasing, joking like this. And then after I was thinking as we were chanting that actually it is only by the association of devotees and the mercy of devotees coming together like this, as on this parikrama, that both the speaker and the hearer can enter into these pastimes. Because I was thinking myself, I think like that too. Oh, Chaitanya Chaitamrita, yes, I know that already. Okay. So it is very important, this coming together, especially in the holy places, because that magnifies the hearing, and we can go to the places and see them with our eyes and hear in those places. It's so potent. So this is such a wonderful service, and we're all actually very blessed to be actually able to be here. First in Mayapur, and now in Jagannath Puri, a different atmosphere, and then we will go again to the next place, Sri Vrindavan Dham, and in each place it will only be by the hearing and the chanting that we will see or understand anything. And the hearing and chanting, to hear and chant nicely, it depends on the association of devotees. So therefore Lord Chaitanya was especially always glorifying the benefit of other devotees' association. So I'd like to thank everybody actually for being here and giving me the opportunity to forced to seriously sit down and read and find something to say and try and prepare. And it sounds like as if I've memorized all these things, but actually it's simply the mercy of a quick but urgent reading of the Chaitanya Charitamrita in order to have something to present, which is the gift of all the devotees together.